I'll be reading John 4, verses 21 through 24. John 4, verses 21 through 24. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come for true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and the worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. You may be seated.
As we get started this morning, I want to ask you this question. I think it's pretty simple, direct, but something I want you to think about. What are you doing here this morning? Why'd you get up so early, get around, drive here? What brought you to this place? There are a lot of people that did not make the decision that you made this morning. They stayed up late last night. They slept in this morning. So what is it? What's the motive? What benefits? What do you hope to get out of it? Listen, I'm thinking of the words of a song. I can tell you why I'm here this morning. It's a song that we sometimes use. We call it a call to worship song. Sometimes we'll use it as the first song that we sing as we begin our worship service together. I love this song. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Why are you here this morning? For some of us, it's the words of the song, I'm here to worship. I think for some of us, we can go to Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for streams of water. Listen to it. So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? I hope as you think about that question, why do you even bother? I mean, there are a lot of folks that they don't make time in their schedule anymore. It's not a priority to them anymore. But I hope that it'll always be a priority to you because you want God in your life. You need God in your life. In fact, I hope you get to a point where you say, listen, I've got to have God in my life. My heart, my soul hungers like a deer in a dry and weary land. There's no water, but he's panting, he's thirsting. I hope you've got a hunger, a heart hunger, a soul that thirsts for the living God and says, I just want to go and meet with my God. What's it all about? What are we doing this morning? What's the purpose of worship? I mean, one thing we want to do is we want to express praise to God. We want to do our very best when we meet together to tell God how much we love Him, to express to Him how much we adore Him. Worship is not a spectator sport. The worshipers kind of sit in the stands and they give their approval or their disapproval to the performance in the arena. I think we're used to that. I mean, I think whether we go to a game or we watch it at home, we critique the players on the field. I think sometimes we critique the coach on the bench. We think maybe we could have done a better job. We can bring that attitude into what goes on when we assemble together as God's people. In true worship, the worshipers are involved in the action. They sing. I want to ask you something this morning. Did you sing? You know, I'm talking to folks that are brothers and sisters in Christ. You were dead in sin, but you are made alive in Christ. You were lost and now you're found. You've been redeemed, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, that lamb without spot or defect. if anybody has a reason to sing, I've got a reason, you've got a reason to sing, how could we come here? Now listen, understand this. I preached that one time and there was an older gentleman and I had great respect. I still, listen, have high regard for that man. I didn't realize when I said that because of age and sickness, he couldn't sing anymore. That's not who I'm preaching to this morning. I'm not talking to the folks that want to and can't. I'm preaching to folks that can and don't. Why not? I mean, why are you here? You're not just here to observe. You're here to participate. You're here to engage. Well, we remembered this morning. Did you remember? When we gave this morning, did you give? When we prayed this morning, did you pray? As we read from God's Word, are you going to study? You're not the audience. God's the audience. You're the performers. You're the ones that stand and deliver and cry out. And express praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Worship is not a dialogue between equals. God is pure spirit, flesh, we're flesh and blood. He's the creator, we are his created beings. He is good, he's perfect, we're sinful. God is without beginning or end, we're bound by time and matter. When I say worship is not a dialogue between equals, we worship. God is worshiped. We have a song that kind of expresses this idea. We worship God because of who He is, what He's done, what He is doing, what He will do. You know that song that I'm talking about? But think about this. We're not just praising Him because of what He does for us. Now, I get that. But it goes deeper than that. It's because of who He is. His divine nature from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. And when we encounter God, we worship. We humble ourselves before Him. Worship is a natural response to God's majesty. Somebody said, we don't worship to see God. I came to see God, and that's why I worship. No, that's backwards. First we see God, and we're overwhelmed by His glory. And then we worship. Moses is in a wilderness, and he sees a bush on fire, not consumed by the fire, and he goes to check that out, and he's standing on holy ground. Listen, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Don't come any closer. Listen, this is the thing. And people, whether you know this or not, people are all, you know, in the world of, you know, Christianity. How do we improve worship? And I think the answer is not about what happens 1 hour when we meet together in this building, in this room. It's what's going on the rest of my life. What am I doing on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What am I doing to be a better worshiper so that when I come here, I've already been with God, I've seen God, and I'm coming in here with a heart full of praise. Because I've been living with the Lord. I can see His fingerprints all over everything good in my life. I can see His providential care. I can see His grace and His mercy and His goodness. And when we come together as a congregation, I'm ready to give Him glory. Listen, I'm sorry, but some of the external things, somebody's going to dim the lights during communion. I'm sorry, that's just not going to get it done. If you don't come in here with your eyes fixed on Jesus, none of the externals that we may try to set a mood or a tone, that's just not sufficient. But if you see God, if you go to Isaiah 6 and you see God,
Do you know that a microphone works better when you turn it on? I was preaching the fire out of that sermon too. It helps to have a sense of humor. Would you listen to Revelation 4, verses 8 and 11? I think it's on the screen here too. You got four living creatures, six wings covered with eyes all around, even under his wings, day and night. They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." As created beings, we cry out in humble adoration to our Creator because of the glory and the majesty and the power and the holiness and the nature of God we worship. We sometimes sing how we stand in awe of God. He is high and holy. What are we doing here? Well, we come to express our praise. Listen, part of what we're doing is we've come to express deep emotion. And I want you to understand that worship can carry, worship can communicate that whole spectrum of human emotion. And sometimes I think, and I hope you'll bear with me, if you're one who's in one of these two positions, I'm not talking to you directly this morning, but I'm talking generally about those who struggle with this feeling. There are those that are really struggling, and I mean mightily, they're struggling with sin, and when they fall, they're so ashamed, they're so heartbroken, they can't worship. Let me tell you where you need to be when you fall. Fall in a Godward direction. Come worship God. You need God. That's who you need. And some say, "Well, I feel so guilty, I feel so ashamed." Bring it all to Christ, bring it all to God in worship. And if somebody says, "Well, listen, Tim, I just went through this tragic loss, and I'm so emotional, I just don't know if I can come to worship." You know where you need to be? You need to be here with us. You need to be taking that to God. He can carry it. He loves you. He's your Father. You need to run home. That's not the time to stay away from God. And listen, I'm not trying to pick at anybody emotionally. What I'm saying is worship can carry that. Worship can lift that. All the burden, the agony that you have on your heart, deep in your soul where you ache, you can lift that to God. James 5:13, anyone among you suffering? Sure. You know there are people here this morning that, well, what do you do? Well, you should pray. Is anyone cheerful? You know there's some folks here today and they're just filled with joy. They're so happy about the things that are going on in their lives. You know what you ought to do? You ought to sing praises. When you are really joyful, when your heart is just brimming with joy for God and because of God's blessings in your life, you got to pour that out. Sing about it. Listen to Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We're His. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord, folks, He's good. He's good. And His love, well, that endures forever. His faithfulness, it continues through all generations. I love this quote from G.K. Chesterton. He said that the saddest moment in the life of an atheist is when he discovers that he's truly thankful and he doesn't have anybody to thank. I mean, that's kind of pitiful, isn't it? I mean, when we're thankful, we understand that the One who is the source of every good and perfect gift, and He is above, and we can cry out to Him, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're so good to me, and I don't deserve it. And I'm so thankful." On the other end of the spectrum, there's grief. Job loses everything. Can you imagine losing all of your children on the same day? And everything else that happened in addition to that. Yet Job chapter 1, in verse 20. I want you to listen to this. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. What did he do? He fell to the ground and not in despair. Not in utter hopelessness. Not in depression. Somebody said, well, Tim, it makes sense to me. When you're happy, sing. Got a song in your heart, man. You're just walking along. Life's been so good to you. God's such a blessing to you. Sing about it. What about when your life is falling apart? What about Job? He fell to the ground in worship. What are you going to run from God when you need Him the most? Listen, I think of a lot of different songs. Where could I go but to the Lord is one of my favorites on this subject. Sometimes it's with regard to temptation. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where are you going to go with that? Listen, I understand. Listen to the next verse. Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. But we get along in sweet accord. But when I need, my soul needs manna from above. Where could I go but to the Lord? I mean, sometimes friends are great, but I need Christ. I need Jesus. I need God. Life here is grand. Friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, mine or the death of somebody else that I love, when we face that loss, that valley, the shadow of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking, I love this, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Isn't that what Jesus did? Listen to it, Matthew 26, verses 38 and 39. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. So what's He going to do? What should we do when we feel that way? Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and he prayed. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not as I will, but as You will. Listen, what we're doing here, the reason we come here is we have a great God. We have an awesome God, and He is worthy of our praise. We have joy in our lives, and we ought to express it in song. And we have sorrows we carry and grief sometimes that we have to deal with and bear up under. And there isn't any better place to carry that than to the Lord in prayer. We're here to edify one another. And we're just going to read a few passages together this morning. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, and interpretation. All these must be done. Listen, not just for the strengthening of the church, some translation, for the edification. But not all of us use that word. So I think for the strengthening of the church, probably communicates a strong message. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing, make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. There's a strong teaching emphasis in these verses. There's reference to a word of instruction, things to be done for the purpose of edification. We're to speak to one another. We're to teach and admonish one another. When we come together to worship, our service, I think, largely is designed to teach fellow worshippers Christian truth and the proper application of that truth. When we sing, we're not just singing to God. We are singing to God, but we're also singing to each other. We're speaking to one another. We're teaching and admonishing one another. And so you see this strong teaching element, I think, in everything we do in our corporate worship assemblies. That's what concerns me about the trend towards entertainment-based, experience-based, emotion-based worship. There isn't anything wrong with enjoying the service. I mean, I think we ought to enjoy praising God. We ought to enjoy expressing to Him our joy and our sorrow. We ought to enjoy that privilege. We ought to enjoy what we teach and what we learn from one another. But the sole measure of the worship experience is not whether or not I had a great time. I remember one time I took a group of teenagers. This was back, I think, in the early 90s. And the service was very dynamic. And almost felt like a pep rally. And one of these boys in particular, I mean, he was just so excited. And I asked him why, which I guess was a mean thing to do, because he couldn't tell me. He kind of hung his head a little bit and he said, "You know what? I don't know. There ought to be substance. There ought to be something of substance that when people leave here, their lives have been enriched. Their faith has been instructed. Their minds challenged." The problem with an entertainment approach is that the form is too shallow to carry the content. Now, I want you to listen to this quote from Neil Postman. He said, "While I do not know exactly what content was carried in the smoke signals of American Indians, I can safely guess that it did not include philosophical arguments. Puffs of smoke are insufficiently complex to express ideas on the nature of existence. You can't use smoke to do philosophy. Its form excludes the content." Now, Dan Chambers, in his book, Showtime Religion, makes this comment about that quote. He says that the same is true about entertainment-based worship. Entertainment and deep content are largely incompatible. In fact, they're so incompatible that it's virtually impossible for them to exist simultaneously. Either entertainment must go or deep content must go. Unfortunately, given this choice, more and more churches are opting to jettison deep content. We gotta cut down on the teaching, because there are those out there that might feel like that's boring. And we can't keep them if we bore them, and so we gotta cut down on it, but we gotta give the folks what they want. Last time I checked, that was not our job. We gotta give people what they need. And when they come to worship, what they need is an encounter with the holy, with the sacred. That they need a confrontation between who they are and who God wants them to be. What's possible? What can be by the grace and mercy of God? Not just an experience that numbs them to the reality. Not Novocaine for the soul. Had such a good time, it didn't even feel bad. And I don't think it's our goal to make people feel bad. But it is our responsibility to be convicted when we encounter the holiness of God. And like Isaiah, we say, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the God of glory. We can't lose that element, that important feature. We worship to express praise to God. We worship to express deep emotion to God. We worship to edify. We do these three things effectively. We can't afford to sell out to any kind of shallow approach where the form won't truly carry the content. And along with all of this, we strive to make sure that every worshiper, again, has an encounter with God, that they hear His Word. That you leave here this morning knowing He loves you. Hey, we missed it by a mile. If you don't get that, you got to hear His Word. But when you hear His Word, you got to know His love. You got to understand His majesty. You got to seek to bring glory and honor to His name. You come in here and it should be a transforming experience. You don't come into the presence of God and leave just as you were. When you come into the presence of God, it changes who you are. It changes you so that you become more like Him. Why are you here this morning? Why'd you get out of bed? Why'd you drive to this building? I hope it's because your heart has such a hunger for God that nothing else will ever satisfy. That your soul thirsts for Him and longs for Him. And there isn't anything else that can quench that thirst but God. My prayer for God's church when we assemble is that He gets what He deserves from us. That He gets our best. That we wear ourselves out in worship when we sing to Him. When we pray to Him, when we give to Him, when we study His Word, when we remember His sacrifice, that we give Him our best. Let me ask you something. Are you doing that? And I don't just mean on Sunday morning. I mean throughout the course of the week in your life. Is He getting your best? We're going to stand and sing here in just a moment. My invitation, I mean, always, we always want to invite folks who have never been saved, who have never put Christ on in baptism. If you want to do that, we want to help you do that this morning. But I want to talk to those of you who are already my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Folks, if we're not giving Him our best, then I don't know how else to say it. But to just come right out and say, then we ought to respond this morning. We're subject to this invitation. We ought to repent for giving God less than what He deserves. Heart, soul, mind, strength. All of me. The best of me. Because He's worthy. And I want you to think about that as we stand and as we sing.